Blog Talk Radio.
There's no combination of words I can put on the back of a postcard. No song that I can sing, but I can try for your heart. And our dreams, and they are made out of real things. Shoebox of photographs with sepia tone loving. And love is the answer, at least for most of the questions in my heart. Like, why are we here and where do we go and how come it's so hard? It's not always easy and sometimes life can be deceiving. I tell you one thing, it's so much better when we're together. Yeah, so much better when we're together. Look at them stars and we're together. Well, it's so much better when we're together. Yeah, so much better when we're together. All of these moments just might find their way into my dreams tonight, but I know that they'll be gone. The morning light sends or brings new things, for tomorrow night you see that they'll be gone too. Too many things I have to do, but if all of these dreams might find their way to my day-to-day scene, I'll be under the impression of a summer in between. With only two, just me and you, not so many things we gotta do. Oh, places we got to be, we'll sit beneath the mango tree now. Yeah, so much better when we're together. Somewhere in between together. Well, so much better when we're together. Yeah, so much better when we're together. I believe in memories, they look so, so pretty when I sleep at night. When I wake up, you look so pretty, even next to me. But there is not enough time, there is no song I can sing. There is no combination.
We'll see you next time. Thank you all so much. Mahalo to the Lord.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Art of Seduction. I hope everyone's doing all right tonight. And it's nice to see some folks on the board, some familiar faces. It's awesome sauce. And I'd like to welcome my co-host tonight, who is Laurent Duval. And hello,
good Laurent. Evening, Jean.
Welcome to the party.
Hello, Jean. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Not too bad. I see that we got a nice group in the
yes, we do.
In the chat. We got Sapphire Rose, Hope Soul.
Yeah.
We got Passionless Promise, Delina, Good Lord Arcana. Hello, everyone. Pleasure to see
party.
You guys here.
Yes, yes, yes. We're going to have to wave. I have to wave it. There we go. Yes. So we have a nice board for tonight, full of wonderful collaborations from so many people that we're so familiar with. I can't wait. So that should be good. And we also have joining us Arcana Amor. Arcana, can you hear me? Hello? Oh, ruh-roh. That doesn't
I thought you right. Said he was having trouble contacting.
I know, but he called back in, so I had him on here twice. just checking. I am on it, man. I am on it. I'm going to try and resend you another. I hear something. I'm going to try and send you a new invite because, you know, you never know. That might just work. And, of course, AP doesn't want to cooperate. And that varies from any other day. I don't know how. But, yeah, so we have a nice board. We have lots of things happening. We got it's going to be kind of fun because, you know, where anybody could enter poems to the contest. And, of course, if you post it, you can only enter one. Enter one into the contest. But if you did collabs with 2, 3, 4 people and they're all under their names, they could all enter their poem in the contest. So I thought that was kind of a novel way to do this, just to see what came to be. So, I'm kind of looking
forward. Having trouble moving around here. Have you seen AP? I don't know whether anyone else is experiencing this, but when I go to groups and I get the drop-down menu and I slide down to late night poets, before I can get to late night poets, the whole thing disappears.
That's okay. That's what it was just doing to me when I hit groups and I went to slide down to slide down to Speakeasy to pick up the address I needed. Yeah, it was doing the same thing to me. You know, it's probably one of our new advances in the program. Arcana, hear me?
Okay.
I sent you a new invite. So maybe give that a try and maybe that'll work. Because they were supposed to have fixed all these problems. Well, as far as I know, anyway. So, let me give that a whirl. Yes. So anyway, hello to everyone in the group. Selena, is that a collab up? Is that the audio? Because I have yet to download it because it wasn't around. Figured I'd ask. Anyway, this is going to be fun. We got lots of poetry. And let me go down here, see what I have. No, it's not here. Okay, Selena, I just checked, so I don't know what's happening. So you just let me know. Yes. So here I am again. Okay, so I guess at the risk of wait, Arcana has returned. Hello. Can you hear me, Arcana? Wow. I don't hear anything you're saying, so I'm not sure if you can hear me. Never a dull moment.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Okay, so I can't, I'm glad you can hear me, Passions. Yeah, I wasn't sure if Arcana was having any better luck with his connection or not. That's so crazy. Story of my life. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. I'm gonna start the show. It's 10 after. We have lots of poetry. And I don't know where Pam is. She must be taking a nap. She has had a busy week. So I'm going to put up her piece with Robert M. And this is called Kiss of the Abyss by Robert M. and Pam Ray. And I have an audio for this. So let's see how that works. I got to just find the right one. Here we go.
This is a recital of Kiss of the Abyss. A poem by me and the poetess, Pam Ray.
Chain me to your thoughts. I want to surrender to the mystery of your restless hunger.
You are bound, shackled by the incantations of lust, softly whispered upon Poi's skin.
Lay claim to me with your unyielding grasp. Part the silken shroud of my thighs.
Little one, soaked in pools of rapture, with beads of want glazing lips of night, brace your soul for the waves of passion that will crash upon shores of longing.
I want to be imprisoned in your demanding glance. My ache responds, crying out for your fevered touch.
You twitch and squirm in anticipation as I trace your tenderness with fingers driven by sadistic intent. Your will crumbles under the weight of my stare, and your mind, body, and soul now belong to me.
Master, with others I saw the darkness and beauty. With you I see the beauty and darkness. Press your strength against me and shatter the restless inhibitions of my soul. I would lose myself to a thousand painful deaths to feel you plunge into my melted core.
Those velvety gates of sin beckon my entry, and so they shall have it.
I take your fullness into me, leaving behind shallow emotions, surrendering to unexplored depths.
Each exhilarating thrust pulls you deeper into the abyss, and there is no resisting the debauchery as we cave into ecstasy, and you will know limitless passion as we delve into the nine gates of dark embrace.
Hot.
Tell you what, James, I know Pam's voice for years now. That is the first time I have heard Pam speak that passionately and then have a male voice echoing her. It was kind of unnerving for a moment. And then as I listened, I could not help but, I mean, when Pam read, "Press your strength against me and shatter the restless inhibitions of my soul. I would lose myself to a thousand painful deaths to feel you plunge into my melted core." I went liquid, I swear. That's some strong stuff. And of course, Robert, when he said, "Each exhilarating thrust pulls you deeper into the abyss, and there is no resisting the debauchery as we cave into ecstasy." I mean, that's about as passionate as I've heard poetry get on this website, eh?
What is it? What would Pam say? Muy caliente. Yes. Hot. Very, very nice.
I bet you she would say more than that right now. Shouldn't she be here for her poem?
Well, she's supposed to be here, but I cannot account for everybody. The only person on the board right now is Arcana Moore, and he can't hear us. We can't hear him. So for right now, this is as good as it gets. But we did just play Pam's, I guess, a week or so ago on one of the shows. It was put up. But it's a wonderful, wonderful, dark, sensual piece. Her and Robert really did play off each other very well. And it was pretty enjoyable. Pretty enjoyable, I got to say. Woo-hoo. Yes, nice stuff. So that one, yes, very well done. And if that's just an example of some of the things we're going to have on the board tonight, how do you like that? It's going to be something. And there's Victoria Frost on the board. Oh, yeah. Yes, I agree. Hope Soul said, wonderful collaboration, dark and passionate. Passion promises. Holy smokes. This piece was hot, dark, and sexy. She fell right into the storyline wonderfully here, too. Yeah, great stuff. It was really a wonderful piece. Yeah. So that worked. So, yeah. And I don't think Arcana can still hear us, but I know he is here. Let me see now. Victoria is on the board, so maybe I will pick hers up next. Let's see. Is she calling in?
Did you make an official comment on this last poem?
Me? I sure did.
You?
I did, I did. Where were you? Wow.
Kind of rereading the poem, you know what I mean?
Yeah, get your thoughts back over here to the working side of things.
It's terrible.
Victoria, will you be calling in this evening?
Yeah, tiny humans are still up and demanding my attention.
Okay, I'm going to hold off on your piece for a few. So, okay, that'll give me my next direction. Wow, the next one I have on the board is by Pam, and the one after that is by Pam. Gosh, dang, darn it. Let me see what I can figure out about
this. She's stroking the fires tonight.
She's a busy girl.
Wham, bam, thank you, Pam.
I think. Oh, gosh, dang it. Okay, I'm going to take this piece. Hang on, I'm going to get this piece. Hope Soul. Who started this poem off, Hope Soul? I have, I don't know if it's one voice or two voices or is blended, but this is called Seeking Each Other by Hope Soul. So, let's see if she can tell me who did first.
Excuse me?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out. Nuno and I. Yeah.
I think the woman
Nuno
starts first.
Nuno starts first.
Oh, Nuno?
Yeah, because she just answered me in the room.
Okay.
So. Okay.
This is called Seeking Each Other. If I were to be blind, the softness of your skin would be my braille. If I were to be deaf, your heartbeat would guide me back home. And all of this and of that, the memory foam on your bed still remembers our body's blueprint. Though I know what I wrote is nothing but the truth.
Out in vast darkness, ever hollow woes, standing at the gates of oblivion, your voice would echo in my spirit, fractals, geometric coding, patterns of our randomness embedding in my lungs, spirals of your galaxy, exploring the depths of my Milky Way, beyond time searches lily of the valley, heaven greeting eternity as I wade in your chest, finding life once more in yours.
Let our love roll around in bed. Let flowers drop their petals. Let us mature together in the eternal dance of life. Let us wed in spring. Let us challenge the dead. Let me garnish your finger with a dandelion ring.
The promised land woven in your vows, cast farewells to father and mother, cleave to me into us, making our flesh one. End poem. Sweet poem.
I like that ending. Please, to me. It's and with a reference to father and mother, it's kind of what the marriage vows say, right?
Yep.
You shall leave your father and your mother and cleave unto your wife. That was a nice touch.
Absolutely.
It's not super steamy, but it's filled with love and promise. And that's what I like about this one. What's your favorite stanza?
I really did lean into that last stanza myself, but I did like how it started off. If I were to be blind, the softness of your skin would be my braille. If I were to be deaf, your heart would guide me back home. And all of this, and of that, the memory foam on your bed still remembers our body's blueprint. So I know what I wrote is nothing but the truth. So, you know, I love that intro stanza by Nuno. And I adored that last stanza of this. And I think it was just perfect for a young couple who really care about each other. I think it was just beautifully done. I love the dandelion ring, too. The dandelion. How did he write it? Let me garnish your finger with the dandelion ring. I thought that was sweet. You know, just a really nice piece. So thank you, Nuna.
And I agree. That first stanza stands out. The second stanza has, it has a universe as
yes.
its guide. Fractals, geometric coding, patterns of your randomness embedded in my lungs, spirals of your galaxy, exploring
Absolutely.
The depths of my Milky Way. That is great stuff.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. It was really well done all the way through. I think that each stanza carried something that was but I think each stanza had merit, and I think that it really stood out like that.
Yeah.
You know, you could go to any one of the stanzas and find wonderful lines throughout, or thoughts, you know, however you want to say it. But, yeah, it was really a great job. Just an excellent piece, and thanks for sharing, guys. Okay. Now, I guess I have to shut up and go. I might have to comment on all these afterwards, but it's okay. Y'all know I'm a little slow. Okay, no, I'm not writing mail. Don't hit that button. Let me see now. That was great. So, let me go back over to the board and let's see what we have. Well, that's Victoria, and that's Pam, and this is you and me. Here, I'll let you read one, Laura. I'll take the old one we put up, and then we'll take it from there later, so I can kind of get my ducks in a row. Okay, Laurent, this is Dawning of Spirit's Light by you and me.
Yes, indeed. Dawning of Spirit's Light. You have a still water smile, unbroken by adversity. Unruffled by strong winds pulsing brightly. It gathers frost and melts ice to angels' tears, scattering them across the darkening plain of night.
Mm-hmm.
Cloud-like, poised above me, your hair hangs in rings, circling your body like small curled moons that descend slowly in ever smaller orbits until we so softly collide. Dawn's touch lights the fires of your eyes, and you erupt electric, consuming bonded flesh, reduced to ash, which stirs and like a black phoenix rises again. We spun silk into sheets, worked cotton into pillows, conjured the lamb, and wove a blanket for the warmth we desired, all in a blind moment when the universe listened to us. We were godlike in its embrace as comet's fire cracked the moon, lighting the sky, enveloping us in the dawning of our spirit light. And
Nice read, Laurent. Nice read.
Yeah, I hadn't read that in years. Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's been around a while. Hey, I got to say hello. Hello, Arcana. Can you hear me now?
Hi there, everyone. Can you hear me?
Hey, we can hear
yes.
you. Nice.
Finally.
Wow. Wow. Was that the new link at work? I wonder what happened. Very strange.
I don't know. No, I think it may be that my speakers were on the wrong setting and I wasn't. It wasn't coming through my headset, but it's all sorted now. I'm here.
I'm glad you're here. Glad
Excellent.
You're here.
And since you're here, would you go ahead and give us a comment on that last poem?
I'm sorry, Lauren. What I did was I completely shut the computer down and rebooted everything. So I've literally just this minute got back in. So I didn't hear it.
That's all right.
All right, we'll let you off the hook.
There you go. Oh, my God. Yeah, well, I thought you did a wonderful job with this piece, Laurent. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It was one of my favorites. We did a good job with this one, so I just thought it was worth putting up. So anyway, we're going to move on now. How you like that? There it goes. This next piece I'm going to put up is called Crescendo of Your Desires. That's between Poetic Picasso and Sapphire Rose. And I have an audio for this one. So let me do this. And here goes.
Crescendo of Your Desires, a collaboration poem by myself, Sapphire Rose, and Poetic Picasso. Our eyes focus on nothing but one another. I press my trembling body close to yours, aching to savor that fervid Latin flavor. Fate has written us in the glow of moonlight, my breast firm and attentive as you synchronize your hips with mine. Drawn beyond my senses, you claim my spirit, my body. Not a word uttered in the silence as I give to you, Amante, my brightest joy and my deepest pain. As you claim me as yours once more, tangling tongues, unrestrained fingers grip tight. With deep need, breathless moans escape uncontrolled as my heart sings your name. You caress my tender face, gazing at me with a wild urge as my cinnamon hair tickles your nose and caramel flesh like a feather. And my arousing scent is the purity of the fragrance of lavender, exuding the dripping pores of my sexy olive skin you want to taste. Your mocha eyes seduce me into the rapture of lascivious lust. My fingernails play with your bare chest as my bosom swells. Your manly voice whispers sensual words of Spanish tease, and you nibble on the tip of my delicious curves of my erogenous feast. We drench our soaked bodies in the glisten of hot perspiration as our thirsty lips moisten together with the exotic moonlight, plunging into the deep abyss of the Mediterranean Sea, with the passionate dance of our tempting tongues unleashed. Your hands hold on to my Calipagian cheeks with a strong grasp, as my thighs rub slowly across the stimulating edges of your hips, seeking to penetrate beyond the naughty mysteries of eroticism, reaching the pleasures beyond the garments of the nightly exploration. You undress my silky scarlet dress to pluck the petals of my tulip, releasing the melting moans of the crescendo of my desires. End poem.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
My desire is just crescendo. Yes, they did. Yeah. Crescendo.
Now, now. No, no, no.
That was a hell of a piece. Can I start with you, Jean?
I thought it was a wonderful piece. Between Sapphire Rose's normal writing and Poetic Picasso's, it's no surprise that this turned into a wonderful write. Wonderful descriptions all the way through. The imagery was wonderful and in places just pretty incredible. And it was just, I don't know, it was just very well put together. I mean, Frank usually writes wonderful, as Pam would say, muy caliente. If she don't get here, I'm going to work. It just was really well done. When you have two fine poets that put themselves, together in the effort of writing a poem, especially a sensual poem, I mean, it can really take off and just be hot, 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 hot. And I think that this one really hit all those marks. So wonderful job, both of you. Thank you, Sapphire Rose, for putting it on the board. And thanks for, Frank, as always, for your contributions to this show. Nice work. Very nice.
That's a very complete comment, Jean. Thank you, my dear.
Mm-hmm.
And Arcana, Now is the time.
Yeah, well, you know, Frank definitely raised the temperature there with a bit of Latin lust in this one. The thing that kind of lost me a bit at first was because reading the poem, it's written in sort of a first-person perspective, but it was read in a third-person perspective. But I thought that it was wonderfully worded. Great lines in there. It's hard to really pick any out. Let's just give me a moment here. Yeah. I caress your tender face, gazing at me with a wild urge, as your cinnamon hair tickles my nose and caramel flesh like a feather, and your arousing scent is the purity of the fragrance of lavender, exuding the dripping pores of your sexy olive skin. I want to taste. I mean, we've got a sensual feast going on here. It's sort of like appealing to the eyes, appealing to the taste. It's all in there. And I thought it was very well done and very well put together. Very inventive and some great imagery thrown in as well. So a great write.
Thank you, Arcana. And it is inventive. You're absolutely right. I was going to go with a stanza just preceding the one you read, but I think I'm going to change my mind. Drawn beyond my senses, you claim my spirit, my body, not a word uttered in the silence, as I give to you, Amante, my brightest joy and my deepest pain. Special attention to that last line, my brightest joy and my deepest pain. That really reflects the gamut of what a woman will offer a man when she lets him win. But when he takes her and she is willing to be taken, everything comes, the joy, the deepest pain. She gives of herself wholeheartedly. And that is something I really enjoy in this excellently written piece. Thank you so much, both of you.
That was great. Okay. Let me see now. Next piece I'm... Oh, hey, Frank. Welcome aboard. And hallelujah. They're not on the phone lines, though, around, just so you know. They're in the room. Hopefully. Ah, well, Lou's here. Lou, I'm going to let you unmute yourself whenever you're ready. No, okay, she did not. The next piece I put up is going to be a collaboration between Passion's Promise and Captain B2. Now, I'm hoping that this is written in one voice. Because I don't know. Nobody, like, gave me any clues here. So I want to go ahead and try and give it a read all the way through. So... forgive me, ladies, if I'm wrong. This is called Intoxicating Notes by Passion's Promise and Captain B2. Tongue flickers of flaming pink. A cinnamon splashes its soft glow. Fishnet clings along a delicate torso. She tangos in ruby red heels. Majestic blues and greens become that of an intimate sway between two. He emerges from the purple-blue shadows and glides across the room to her. The tango music floods the darkened room and flows across the floorboards, saturating the darkness with its captivating strains, with its intoxicating notes ripe with passion and desire. He slips his hand round her waist and firmly draws her body towards his. The music plays for only these two, a private passaggio performed in the pools of moonlight that bathe the darkened corners of the unlit room. As the flaming cinnamon tongues of the candles flicker and the moon watches silently, as the two shadows become one, their movements become the vertical expression of a horizontal wish, flowing together as if it had always been thus. And as the tango continues, their fluid movements become a terpsichoreal act of love, set to the powerful Latin strains that their bodies follow,
their movements telling each other of their mutual need, of their unconcealed lust, knowing that their dance can end only one way. Yes, they will tango into the night, their private passage uniting them in a tangle of limbs enrobed in the same sweet sweat that bathes them now, and the two cast only one shadow across the bedclothes, a forever union of two dancers. End poem.
Great read, Jean. I like that. And, you know, I have to admit that I was laying in wait with a smile to see what happened when you hit that next to last stanza of the second line.
Yeah.
You handled it all right. Your scorial act of love. That was good. I would have probably massacred that word.
Well, I knew what I wanted to say, but my tongue would not cooperate. That's what I got to say about it.
Right. Yeah. Well, let me say that these are all quotable, but I especially like as the flaming cinnamon tongues of the candles flicker and the moon watches silently as the two shadows become one, their movements become the vertical expression of a horizontal wish flowing together as if it had always been thus. And with that last statement, he gives a great expanse to the space that this poem occupies. It has always been thus. It's nicely done. As is the whole piece, I find it very intimate, filled with color and vivid imagery, and certainly the passion that is displayed in that tangle of limbs in robe, in the same sweet sweat that bathes them now, will keep my imagination at a fever pitch. Arcana, how about you?
Well, you've skillfully stolen nearly everything I was about to say there, Laurent. You've nicked the stanza I was going to quote, and you've come out with everything I was going to say. I think it's an absolutely wonderful piece. Obviously, the sentiment in there is palpable, you know, the passion, and it's got that Latin flavor to it as well. He slips his hand round her waist and firmly draws her body towards his. The music plays for only these two, a private pas de deux performed in the pools of moonlight that bathe the darkened corners of the unlit room. Beautiful lines. I mean, that's just wonderful. But then, hey, what do you expect from Bobby? This was Bobby and Dickie, wasn't it?
Yeah. The two of them have just
the way that it's written, it's quite seamless. It's hard to tell who's written what, which is always the sign of an excellent collaboration. So I've got to say, a wonderful write. Very well done to both of them.
Thank you, Arcana. And did I hear Lou use a little giggle?
Yes, you did.
Yes, you did.
Hello, Lou.
Hello, Arcana. Hello, Laurent. And hello, Miss Bill. Oh, what beautiful poetry tonight. What I loved about this is I love when colors paint on my mind. You know, they start off with the tongue flickers, a flaming pink, as cinnamon splashes its soft glow. You know, and it just, you know, it just goes all throughout here. It touches the senses, you know, the music, you know, the tango music floods the darkened room and flows across the floorboards. And I love where in the next stanza, he slips his hand around her waist and firmly draws his body towards his, you know, and there's, you know, with Latin music, you just have to move and grind and just feel the body of the other person as you're moving across the floor and you're moving. And it just made it so deeply sensual because, you know, when you're dancing like that, like it says here, their movements telling each other of their mutual need of unconcealed lust. And I don't know how many of you have danced to Latin music, but Oh, it's hot.
That was hot.
It is. Well, thank you very much, Louie. It was a great time. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
And Mademoiselle Jean, back to you.
Okay, dokie. Well, Louie, are you up for a read?
I will attempt to read.
Okay. Then I'll tell you what. Arcana, if you would be okay. So kind as to join Louie in this collaboration, the male voice is starting this off, and it's called Lover's Waltz. And it's by Raven Blackrose and Silk Blackrose. So whenever you're ready.
Sure thing. Okay.
Thank you.
Did you post it? Because I don't.
I did. Just now.
So it starts with the he, yeah?
Correct.
Okay, here we go.
I see it now.
Lover's Waltz collaboration between Raven and Silk Blackrose. Flames flicker. And shadows dance across their nude forms. His eyes pierce into hers, the savage beauty wrapped in his arms. Her scent arouses wondrous appetites as fingers brush into her hair, and he kisses her crimson lips as if they were his breath.
She returned the kiss with the same hunger that he had felt earlier. There was something about him that stirred her in ways she had forgotten. So long since she had lost control and drank her fill, only wanting more. This one called to something so deep inside her, she had no choice.
Hunger surged through his veins in answer to the call of her oceans. His hands moved, palms mapping her body in heated caress, sampling her lips with his tongue, tempting hers to tango. Her bite and blood unchained a beast that now rose within.
She pulled back from the kiss, and sapphire blues met his hazel gaze. This time, she did not hide what she was as she admired his form. Slowly, she let her long nail tease across his exposed flesh, leaving red lines that sweet droplets of elixir as she licked her lips.
He groans softly as she rakes his chest, letting his hands stray to her breasts. Gliding over her flawless skin, he thought her even more beautiful in her glory. The scent of his blood upon her nails draws from him a feral growl. He rises, gripping her midnight hair, fangs sinking deep into the cream of her neck.
Before he could register what had happened, she had pushed him away, his fangs ripping her flesh. The blood ran down her body as she straddled him, her hands on his shoulders, her raven hair like a curtain around them. She leaned down and sank her fangs into his chest, her own blood warm between them.
He slid his hands down her back, gripping her curves and pulling her against him. The newly woken beast howled within, as his hunger flamed and desire raged. Hazel eyes bled to silver, melting into her blazing silvery sapphire orbs. He rolls and mounts her, tearing from her fangs and laps the blood from her breast.
Her A low growl rumbled deep in her throat as she felt his beast lap at her breast. She wrapped her arms around him and grazed her long nails down his back, pulling his body even tighter against her own. She wrapped her long legs around him, her own beast wanting more. She nipped at his shoulder, their blood warm and sticky.
Answering her growl, their bodies now slick and sticky with mingled blood. His lips found her neck, devouring hungrily to her ear, and he suckled, then nipped. Need growing urgent, his throbbing pillar slid between the petals of fiery blossom, then plunged into her sweltering depths as his fangs sank into her scarlet streams.
She let him drink until her own hunger rose and her own need took control. She raised up off the bed, pushing him back with her until it was her that was looking down at him, her fangs bared, her hands on his chest. She took what she wanted. She needed in a slow, sensual dance as she found his lips in a brutal, bloody kiss.
Crimson handprints screamed from white satin sheets as he met her move for move, matching her rhythms, returning the kiss with equal savagery. His hands slide across her body, smearing blood into her raven curls, drowning in the taste of their mingled blood and the molten grip of her gypsy hips.
Breaking the kiss, she sat up and looked down at him. Her need was showing in her eyes. She had satisfied her craving, but the hunger that remained was even more primal. She began to move her eyes closed and her arms raised above her head. She danced to a song long forgotten lost. As she was, she gave herself to both him and the dance.
Mesmerized and captivated by her sultry dance, lost completely in her taboo, devouring every inch of her with his eyes and hands gliding along her thighs. Passion beats hot upon the air, thick with the scent of blood and essence. Each synchronized thrust dripping with exploding starbursts of ecstasy.
She let out a howl of pure pleasure and pain as her body reached that peak, only to crash back around him in hot waves of delirious ecstasy. She felt weak upon his chest as the wolves in the valley below howled in unison, answering her call. She opened her eyes slowly, turned her head, and nipped at his flesh.
As their hips crashed together, he felt his own climax rise to claim him. And he howled with her to the shattering twilight, a dark aria spun into a symphony, clinging to her in those fierce moments, dying endlessly in her raging depths, trading nips. Then he kissed her in a way that would sunder her eternity. End poem.
Holy moly.
Well, bravo, bravo to the two of you. That was outstanding. I really enjoyed hearing Arcane's voice in contrast to Ryu's somewhat sultry, almost innocent, yet extremely passionate voice. I'll tell you, I had heard this before, and then it's been a while, so I've forgotten all about it. But this is truly a symphony of dark lovemaking, an exquisite one. Now, let me see. We have a number of choices. This is not PG. It is definitely R all the way. And that last stanza is absolutely gripping when it comes to the writing. As their hips crashed together, he felt his own climax rise to claim him, and he howled with her to the shattering twilight, a dark aria spun into a symphony. It's always interesting to see how a poet will describe the sexual climax, and this one is described very, very well, especially that he kissed her in a way that would sunder her eternity. That is such a dramatic phrase. Really well done. Gene, I can't wait to hear what you thought about this.
Well, you know, I thought that this was just a wonderful collaboration by Silk and Raven. Very well done. I mean, epic, right? And this is actually a continuation of another right. So, I mean, heaven forbid we put them together. We'd have a whole night's worth of work.
Yeah.
But it was incredibly penned. I thought the imagery was wonderful, and it was a great, dark, sensual piece. You know,
mm-hmm.
Yes, it really had wonderful back and forth between the two of them. No puns intended, by the way. I think they just did a fine job working together, but they had written together many times, I believe, and this just probably came very naturally to them. So wonderful work, and thank you so much, Raven, for putting this into the show. And thank you, Silk, for, you know, having your part in it as well. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Gene. Great comment. And Liu, may we hear from you?
You know what? I've always enjoyed Raven and Silk Black Rose's poetry. They work so well together. You know, I loved where she brought out that hunger, that kiss when you taste that other person. And then all of a sudden it just brings up all these memories that have been forgotten, and then you lose control. I mean, when somebody makes you lose control, where you just, like she says, here's something so deep, she had no choice. And of course, you know, Silk always is fantastic with his dark sensual light. I know he does a lot of vampire poetry, and of course so does Raven, but you know, this is just dark, delicious, descriptive, and just wonderful.
Absolutely. Okay.
Thank you, Liu. And Arcana, mm-hmm. You dark prince of passion, you, how about you?
Well, now, I just love a good vampire tale. It's something that's quite close to my heart. I think the thing about vampire sexuality is you've got a dual penetration taking place here, because you've got the actual physical act of penetrating, but then on top of that, you've also got the fangs penetrating as well. So you've got all this going on, and I think this piece captures that brilliantly. I love the lines in there. I was also going to mention the final stanza, but there are just so many great lines in there. Just give me a moment. I was looking at one a moment ago. He slid his hands down her back, ripping her curves and pulling her against him. The newly woken beast howled within as his hunger flamed and desire raged. Hazel eyes bled to silver, melting into her blazing silvery sapphire orbs. He rolls and mounts her, tearing from her fangs and laps the blood from her breast. There's a feast of color and senses going on here, and it's just brilliantly put together. So I have to say, very, very well done, Silk Black Rose and Raven. A great, great collaboration between the two of them. Loved it.
Absolutely.
Bravo, Arcana. I love that you mentioned that dual penetration. It does give a certain insight how much more passionate or more erotic the act was. Great poem. I don't know how the hell we're supposed to proceed as if nothing had just happened. Man. It's ridiculous. Right, <Gene?
laughs> Oh, my goodness. Okay, I'm going to put up the next piece. It's called, I believe, Dark Alonis. I could be completely wrong. And if I am, somebody correct me. And this one is by Average White Man and Stellina. So let me play this. And all I have to do is find the button. There we go.
Now a tragic opera soared on mournful strings that carried salient hints of portending sorrow. For too long we clinged on as our fervent mutual desires burned our world to ashes. Tongues of fire lapping at the tinderbox of fidelity. Beyond the heat, I longed to pen you words to bring goosebumps to ivory flesh. But that is all that they are, words, clinging like lamb's wool to the barbed wire of life's misadventures, graying in the rain, unable to let go the painful stabs of contrition. I scribble my goodbyes in Parnassian confessions over and over, year after desperate year. Ad nauseam, I relentlessly pour out my pointless art, singing my song into a vacuum, every note swallowed by time. How long must I rue our coupling? How long must I regret our goodbyes? Dear God, I miss being the man that you loved.
The aria of your ecstasy echoes in my mind. Like a swan's dying song, most beautiful of all. Words whispered in throes of heightened desire, which cooled like summer's farewell in winter's chill. Words etched on parchment that opened my heart, as wrapped in your arms by the firelight, you read, for the days and nights were gifts sweetly given, yet lost their luster, tarnished by time. Lying in my barren bed, my skin pining for your touch, tears of raindrops murmuring the sorrow of goodbye. Too long has the memory of the taste of you lingered, as you drank deeply from my well of infinite passion. Yet our nights were hollowed by sharpened tongues, and your words became as ash dying on your lips, as parchment faded to dust, swept away by the wind. Dear God, I miss being the woman that you loved.
Wow. That was a great piece. May we start with you, Luyu?
Yes, you know, what I loved about this poem is the emotions and the love. And what you miss about that person that you're no longer with. And I liked how they mirrored each other in each stanza with a little bit of repetition you know, because both people that are deeply in love who have separated, you still feel those emotions. And where, you know, he says that singing my song into a vacuum, every note swallowed by time, you know, that is so painful. How long must I rule our pain? How long must I regret our goodbyes? Dear God, I miss being the man that you loved. You know, that was just, you know, just painful. It just draws you into the relationship. And then, of course, you know, Stelena talks about the tears of brain drops murmuring the sorrows goodbye. Too long has the memory of taste of you lingered as you drink deeply from the well of my infinite passion. And, of course, you know, she goes towards the bottom. Yet our nights are hollowed by sharpened tongues, and your words became as ash dying on your lips, as parchment faded to dust swept away by the wind. Dear God, I miss being the woman that loved you. You know, I mean, that's just the emotional, emotive impact of those words that we have all felt at one time in our lives, where we question ourselves and beat ourselves, and, you know, sometimes the separation isn't graceful, you know, and we just, you know, stab ourselves with daggers just remembering those words.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Louie. Great comment, my dear. And Arcana, please.
Thank you.
Well, you know, I mean, Stelena excels at putting sound clouds together, and she's an excellent writer. You know, the emotions in here are just palpable. One of the standout bits for me, I just love these lines. The aria of your ecstasy echoes in my mind, like a swan's dying song, most beautiful of all. Words whispered in throes of heightened desire, which cooled like summer's farewell in winter's chill. Words etched on parchment that opened my heart, as wrapped in your arms by the firelight you read. For the days and nights were gifts sweetly given, yet lost their luster, tarnished by time. What absolutely incredible lines there. I mean, it's just absolute. To me, you know, I think that it's just a complete, I said it in the comment that I actually put on this piece, I thought it was a stunning piece of vocal and poetic art, and another seamless collaboration. And I, like Louie has just said, you know, I love the way that they sort of really emphasize that yearning, that longing, and that sadness at the end of each line that they speak, where he says, "Dear God, I miss being the man that you loved," and she ends saying, "Dear God, I miss being the woman that you loved." It's just absolutely beautifully written. Love it. Very well done, Stelena and Average White Man.
And that was another excellent comment. Thank you, Arcana. I like what you said, Arcana, about the last lines in each stanza. Dear God, I miss the man or the woman that you love. And yet, for all of that regret, there are hints in this poem of why they are distanced from each other. For too long, we clinged on as our fervent mutual desires burned our world to ashes. Tongues of fire lapping at the tinderbox of fidelity. I think there's a distinct clue in there as to what happened when you have two people as passionate as these. Sometimes that passion overlaps the small world of two and moves into a larger world, which can create issues. You mentioned several lines in that second stanza, especially the aria of your ecstasy, that I thought were really beautiful. But I especially liked the, then is all they are words, clinging like lamb's wool, to the barbed wire of life's misadventures, graying in the rain, unable to let go of the painful stabs of contrition. You know, no matter how sad or sorry they were, it wasn't going to work. I think probably he was at fault. I scribble my goodbyes in Parnassian confessions. Parnassian refers to poetics in general, but it's also a group of poets who believed in absolutely strict form and structure. So he is taking his pains in Parnassian confessions to follow a certain rhythm, a certain flow, a certain rule in his desperation. And that comes out beautifully in this piece. Dean, how about you?
Well, you know, I'm not even going to try and quote lines throughout this piece. It was wonderfully done by both Stelina and Ira Dwightman. I thought it was a sad piece. And there is nothing worse than love lost. I thought it was very well penned, and I thought the emotions were well expressed. So great job, you two, and thank you so much for sharing this piece with us. Okay.
All right, we are moving on.
Yes, we are. Next piece I'm going to put up is by Victoria Frost and Robert M. And I have an audio for this one. So, let me hit the button. Make sure I hit the right button. This one. Here we go.
Hunger, the humming need to feed on flesh, on seed and blood, to taste the life of lovers lost and to carve my mark on a virgin flesh, remind them of the unfaithful God. Banish not for evil deeds, but misplaced ego, living, longing, alone and lost, haven in a humble cave. My need, my hunger, slowly grow.
I was ostracized from my pride, reborn as the emperor of pain. I have forged kingdom of lust and flame, spanning for eons. Yet, in all hellish realms, I have not seen a beautifully twisted creature such as yourself. Your humility is a needless burden. Like myself, you resonate as a beacon of temptation. You only need learn to channel your hunger. I am willing to teach you for a price.
A hint of smile, and perhaps the same, blooming on that crimson of need. What sweet words to be valued and seen. And what can you teach me? For have we not both rebelled against an unjust God who fears an equal of Adam?
We both have been forsaken by the Creator, but your existence is but a flicker before my inferno. My power and influence have grown over the millennia. You wish to equal Adam, but you are superior. You and I were struck from a different mold. Our greatness staunched by forced humility. In my care, you will hone those lovely fangs and silver your tongue. You will command all earthly delights. None living or otherwise will be able to resist you.
What sweets are offered this temptation with haven in hellish hands? Pray tell, my liege, what cost comes with my fealty? My fangs are sharp, but give me more than a silver tongue of falsity. I wish to feast on Adam's soul and claw out the heart of God. And then, she thought, a small idea, a gleam forming in her eyes, she gazed upon the stark, defiled man. And if I might make one demand, if I am to be your tool, I wish to bring forth children to strike down Adam and his fool.
With your sworn fealty, your tongue will be thoroughly tested in many divine ways. You will reign in infernal sanctuary at my side. I will give you dominion over human souls, that you may sap their essence to add to your power. After I have had my portion, of course. Adam's seed have been strewn upon the earth, so you may reap your vengeance freely. You will take my seed, and your progeny will overwhelm the world of man. As for the Creator, they have no heart. They freely cast their children into the abyss. The time will come when we march at the gates, so that we may take back what is rightfully ours. Until then, however, your eternal servitude is required. You want power? It will be yours. You want vengeance? You shall have it. But do not cross me. For as much beauty that the flames portray, so much terror resides for those foolish enough to test me.
With a hiss, a sharp inhale, Lilith bowed her head, grasping his hand to nestle against his chest in this devil's deal. As you wish, O shining light, let's remind them of the dark. Create the monsters of myth and men. I give you my heart, my mind, and body. God never gave me a soul. Soft lips brushed his perfect skin as she turned his palm up, and tiny pups announced deal struck as she drank upon his blood.
Gentle stroking of Lilith's hair ended abruptly as Lucifer snapped her head back to stare into her eyes. It is done! Forcefully, yet sensually, Lucifer licked the blood flowing down the sides of her face and lips, then honed in for a kiss as deep as the abyssal hells. My blood is my gift. Your dominion holds no equal now. You will wreak havoc as a relentless huntress in the world of men. The word master never be permitted from thine lips, lest it be at my feet. It is now time for us to consummate this pact. You, who would bathe in the fires of sin, get on thy knees and let us begin.
Wow.
Holy moly.
I feel the need to mentally readjust here for a moment.
Oh, my God.
I understand that our comments should probably be a little bit shorter than they have been, as we'll never get through the poems that we have. But, you know, when she says, with a hiss of sharp inhale, Lilith bowed her head, grasping his hand to nestle against his chest in his devil's deal. She says, as you wish, O shining light. You would wonder why someone in that position would be called a shining light when he's a representative of the dark. But if you think about it, Lucifer is called the morning star, because Lucifer translated really means the planet Venus. So as the morning star, he is shining light. And I thought that little touch was absolutely excellent in a formidable poem that is absolutely beautifully, darkly written, not just something of sexuality, but of deep philosophies and an arrogance, with the two of them at the top of humanity's heap, planning what they're going to do. There is inferno, as he said. Let's start with Arcana, please.
Okay, well, aside from the fact it was absolutely brilliant, I felt like I'd just been taken to the movies listening to that, you know. It was just so engrossing. I look, there's so many lines in there. I'm not going to try and pick any out because they're just all brilliant. There was several references in there to Adam, and also to Lilith. And obviously Lilith was Adam's first wife before Eve. And she refused to submit to Adam. And therefore, for that refusal, she was cast down and took Samael, the demon king, to be her lover. And then she became the antithesis of everything that is good and holy and wholesome, and became hell's whore. And I think that the way that this is written is absolutely brilliant. I just love Robert's poetry anyway. He's got to be my favourite dark poet. And I think that it's just absolutely wonderful. And I think they both sort of roll off each other so well when they're reading. I wish the volume had been a little bit louder when Vicky was speaking, because I love the sound of her voice when she's reading as well. But I thought it was absolutely brilliant. Very well done, both of them. Wonderful writer.
Thank you, Arcana. Excellent. And Jean, please.
You know, this was a fabulous piece, and I agree with Arcana 100%. You know, they roll off of each other so well. You know, it just has such wonderful flow to it. The story was fabulous, and the imagery was just amazing. You know, I thought it was just wicked good. A great dark piece, and what a wonderful share for tonight. You know, it wasn't straight up sensual, you know, it wasn't cutesy, and that's all right. You know, it was definitely hot in its own right, and fabulous piece. So thank you, Victoria and Robert, for sharing this piece with us. I know it's an older piece. We have a newer one for later. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Mama. Very well said. And Lou, I think you have a lot to say, eh?
Well, no, because I would like to get to listen to more poetry. But what I've got to say, you know, Robert is the one who welcomed me to AP, and I have always enjoyed his storytelling and the passion and the way that he writes when he's expressing himself. And what I loved about Victoria is that there's this power play here. And, you know, sometimes power play can be very sensual. You know, there's teasing in here, you know, where she says a hint of smile and perhaps a fang blooming on lips, crimson with need. But, you know, Robert, he holds his role here firm. You know, he's not going to move against anything she says. You know, he makes her promises. And, of course, with Satan's promises, the devil's promises, there is always something that is asked back. And, you know, I love the power image that he set here, so dark and deep. And then I loved about her was her playfulness until she realized she wasn't going to be able to move him in any direction. She was going to do it his way, because there's no other way.
Yes, he was the master. Thanks, Lou. That was excellent. And now I hand the reins back to Jean.
Okay, well, I have another piece to put up. I have quite a few. This is called Midnight's Aroused Sighs by Lou Wildove and Arcana Amore. So, and I have an audio for this. Imagine that. Oh, wait, and we have a call. Wait, we have a caller, too. Hello, Dexter. How are you tonight?
Hello, hello, hello.
Good day. Hey, Dexter.
Hey, Dex.
Hi, Dex.
Hey.
Good to have you join us, Dex. You're just in time to hear Arcana Amore and Lou Wildove's collaboration. So, here we go. Almost hit the wrong button. That would have been bad.
hold my hand as we flow through torrents of time, dancing closely together in a temporal waltz. Our sweet music echoes throughout eternity. Inside starlight songs of sensual serenades.
Fingers entwined, pressed bodies lift together. Festive nocturne ensemble, reed flutes, heart drums, longing passion. My heart flies as wild dove wings. Our lips drinking heated, moist murmurs, mere.
My universe sparkles in the inferno of your eyes. You are my temple of temptation, to seductive surrender, where we join to worship the heights of pleasure, connected forever in an infinite kiss.
My flower blossom, filling with your honeyed voice. Over your limbs I've spread rose, cedar, almond oil. Our bodies cooling in the calm darkness of Nile water. You placing white, blue water lilies on my heaving breast.
I savor the sweet taste of your lips on mine. Our tongues meet in flickering candlelit trysts. You provide rhythm and rhyme to my beating heart, enchanting me with spells of mystical beauty.
My beloved Lord, spread my mouth with pomegranate intoxicated kisses, drinking life from full warm lips. Goblet drum pounds as my body drifts to the pulse of my heart. Your aroused pupils, sweet, savory, date delight.
Your slender shadow lights up my darkness, igniting every fiber of my soul with passion. Each reincarnated embrace we wade through as one, exploring ebbing eras, voyaging onward through time.
Together, no longer parted, fondling, touching, onyx contours, hungering for my risen beloved Lord, layered in brilliant gold, recognizing ancient bonds, searching centuries we've traveled, anticipating your footsteps on these forlorn, red desert sands.
In bygone aeons, when I once was your Pharaoh, and you, my precious, were my queen of the Nile. Our bond has cascaded from the past into present, forever blessing each breath with whispers of love.
Nightingale's tunes sang midnight's aroused sigh. Cherished Mary, depths of my love, deep as the night stars, our loving story bears itself, carved on lavish valley tombs, lips memories ablaze, as rain in the desert thirsts, I await you, my Mefe, Pharaoh.
Yeah. Go, guys.
That was fun. You know, when you hear something that resonates so truly as that did, that was all right. I tell you what fascinates me is the way you're able to take the two characters, the Pharaoh and his queen, and give them a sense of continuity throughout ages, throughout eras. There is a stanza in here that I need to find. But I had it. Your slender shadow lights up my darkness, igniting every fiber of my soul with passion. Each reincarnated embrace you wade through as one, exploring ebbing eras, voyaging onward in time. He's taken a magnificent love affair and stretched it out over the ages, giving this love affair eternal life, almost in the same way that the Egyptians were laid to rest in their pyramids and tombs, mummified and prepared for eternal life. So here we have eternal love flowing through torrents of time, dancing closely together in a temporal waltz, as that first stanza relates. What an excellent, excellent piece. I love the take on the eternal love that will always voyage onward through time. Congratulations to the two of you. Well done. Dean, what did you think?
You know, I thought this was an amazing piece by you two. You would think you would were writing together for a really long time. I thought it was an excellent story told and loaded with great imagery. And it was a great blending of the voices. You brought them together in this poem so well. I grabbed up two stanzas. I savor the sweet taste of your lips on mine. Our tongues meet in a flickering candlelit tryst. You provide rhythm and rhyme to my beating heart, enchanting me with spells of mystical beauty. And then my beloved Lord spread my mouth with pomegranate intoxicated kisses, drinking life from full warm lips, goblet drums pound as my body drifts to the pulse of my heart. Your aroused pupils, sweet, savory, date delights. Wonderful lines and thoughts throughout. Just a great piece, you guys. Absolutely.
Thank you, Gene.
Thank you very much,
most
folks.
Lucid. Yes, indeed. A most lucid comment, Gene. And Dexter, can
Thank
we have
you.
Your take on this?
Yeah, what a hot piece. longings, passion, the heart flies wings. I mean, this one hit on all the drums and, you know, it might only be 60-something degrees, but it almost had you sweating, you know, over here. So it was an incredible write, the way that you guys bounced back and forth and the voices and in the back. I don't know where you guys find these back tracks, you know, to put in there. But it was incredible, and I thought it was a fantastic rap.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Dexter. Now, if we can have the poets give just a brief little something on their writing, I'd appreciate it. Start with Louie.
You know, I am into archaeology, and I love the Egyptian lore. You know, these ancient beasts, you know, werewolves, vampires, these Egyptians, king, you know, pharaohs, and his princess, you know. It fascinates me. And when he made us, Arcana made a suggestion, I said, ooh, Egypt. And so, you know, yeah. This is all laced in that lore and history.
Absolutely.
Nice. Thank you, dear Arcana.
Well, I kind of wanted to sort of focus on the romantic side, because I knew that Lou excels on the sensual side. So, so I kind of thought, well, okay, I'll try and sort of put something a little bit romantic in there, because I know that Lou is going to disappoint when it comes to putting a bit of sensuality in there and raising the temperature up, which she did brilliantly. And it was a pleasure to work with her. She's a great poet to work with. So it was a pleasure.
Thank you.
You're welcome, hon.
Thank you.
Thank you, Arcana. And Jean, it's back to you.
Well, I want to let you know that we have Victoria Frost joining us. Hello, Victoria.
Hey, Victoria.
Hi, Victoria.
Hi,
sweetie.
Hi, Vic.
Could I very quickly make a comment on Louie's piece?
Sure.
Very quickly. One of the things that I just really appreciate about this is, speaking about Egyptian lore, the pharaoh was believed to be a mediator between the gods and goddesses and the earth. And so one of the things I really appreciate is that we do have this royal perspective in a very human moment, where even though the pharaoh may have had his own kind of worship, this is a very intimate one. And so I appreciated that reminder that while the pharaoh had this status, he still bent a knee in many ways to his queen. And so there was kind of that opportunity of this great power to relinquish a little bit of it. And I thought that that was just so masterfully done.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Victoria.
Absolutely. Okay. Dexter, I have your piece up next. I just have one question. Is this one voice or two? Did you and Pam write opposite each other?
Well, it was supposed to be two voices, but I mean, what are we going to do?
Well, if you tell me...
She already broke my arm to write this piece. No, I'm just kidding. No.
Look now. I mean, I'll work with you. I'll read it with you if you tell me where I'm supposed to start.
Oh, okay. No, I think I can read this whole thing. I'm joking.
Okay,
no, I love
good.
To do this one with Pam.
That's great. Okay, when
radiant blossoms. Radiant blossoms on a river's current. Come to me in our moment of savage awakening. Paint me in vibrant hues of psychedelic arrows, a touch of mysticism in the vibrations of your voice. You offer to me temptations untethered in realms of ethereal existence. Kisses dance like sunlight off of river's current, igniting the way for the fruits of passion, radiant and spectacular, seeing you colored in me, within my garden. Your libertine seeds released as a search between wrists in luminosity of visions shared, intertwining moans, spontaneous combustion, blossoming in romance. End poem.
Nicely read, Dexter. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And Arcana, can we start with you, please?
Okay. I think that there are some wonderful lines in there, and there's some great use of metaphor and abstract imagery thrown in, all for good measure. Paint me in vibrant hues of psychedelic eros,
a touch of mysticism in the vibrations of your voice. Great lines there. And then another one. Within my garden, your libertine seeds released as the serpent writhes in luminosity of visions shared. Wow, I mean, great imagination there, Dex. And again, I mean, it's just that between the two of you, it's another one that's I keep saying it over and over, but you know, when two people can write like that and they kind of like reach that point where they're in the same mindset, they're both living the part that they're writing about in the collaboration, and it all comes together in this perfect marriage of words. And I think you've both achieved that here, and I think it's a wonderful piece. So very well done, Dex. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Arcane. Great comment. And Louie, please.
You know what I loved, fabulous read, Dex. You know, what I loved about your poem was that it was seamless. I couldn't tell which stanza was yours and which stanza was, you know, Pam's. You know, the colors in here paint me with vibrant hues and psychedelic eros, a touch of mysticism in the vibrations of your voice. You know, there's just something about somebody's voice that is just ecstasy to it. When you're attracted to them, it's such an erotic an experience. And then the next stanza, you offer to me temptations untethered in the realms of ethereal existence. You know, this is just, you know, two souls that are coming together wanting, you know, the colors in here are so vibrant that the passion is just absolutely stunning. Wonderful poem, Dex.
Thank you. Thanks, Lou. Excellent comment. And Jean, please.
You know, I thought it was an excellent piece by UN Pam Dexter. That was very well done. And I really enjoyed it very much. I liked it from the come to me at the very beginning, you know, all the way through, really. But, I took it all the way down to Kisses Dance Like Sunlight off of a River Current. I would read it all, but, I know it's like 20 minutes of 12 already. Like, time flies, right? Just wonderful lines and stanzas throughout. It was great work. So, well done. Shane, you said this wasn't your first time, but you and Pam did a great job. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Jean.
Absolutely.
Great comment, hon. I was gripped by the entire piece, especially by the stanza, "Within my garden, your libertine seeds released as the serpent writhes, the luminosity of visions shared." Well, when you use the word garden in the same paragraph or in the same stanza as the word serpent, it immediately brings to mind the Garden of Eden. The luminosity of visions shared shows an awakening of kindred spirits, which culminates in intertwining moans, spontaneous combustion, blossoming, and romance. Vivid imagery, very cleverly written. Enjoyed it top to bottom. Well done, Dex and Pam.
Excellent job. And
it's all yours, dear.
Why did you forgot Victoria, didn't you? Or did I miss that?
No,
I'm sorry,
here.
What?
I'm here.
Oh,
you know,
Victoria,
okay.
I'm sorry. I beg your pardon. No, your turn. Please comment.
I have to say, actually, Laurent, that I really appreciated that you brought up the Garden of Eden in that libertine verse of the serpent, because that's actually something that I, too, kind of focused in on. A fun fact is that there's an interpretation of the forbidden fruit, not as an actual fruit, but the act of sex. And, of course, the snake is a metaphor. And so I feel like there was some really interest or some real fun that was played in on this, with perhaps that in mind, that alternate perspective of the fall of man, starting with Eve, with the idea that there is libertine seed, which the definition of that is this person who's fairly loose morals, who rejects religion, and tell me that doesn't sound like the devil himself. So I really love this because there's kind of that psychedelic feel of two souls kind of uniting and connecting, but perhaps in a way that might not have been intended. So fantastic, fantastic ride on multiple levels.
Victoria, you said it so much better than I did.
No. You just gave me a chance.
No. Stop it. You did it. You're amazing. All right, Jean.
Okay, we got two more pieces I want to at least get through tonight. So the next one I'm going to put up is the piece by Laurent and myself. And then, Victoria, we're going to your second piece. So, Laurent, if you would do the honors, I would much appreciate it.
All right, let me get a little refresh in here. There it is. This is called Remation and Abarash, a love story. Remation, more than a man, yet less than a god. Heart of flint, cracking. Fissures splitting its composure, exposed to love and lust, a vision and white the crust.
Avarice, object of his desire, the darkness of him needing to envelop her light, sensing his presence always near, leading him slowly to her side.
She pulled at him the way a fire draws creatures of the night, yellow-green eyes gathering, glistening.
He was her intrigue, her desire, wanting to save his eternal soul, illuminating the darkness of his being, drawing him into the forgiveness of her spirit.
Prince of shadows, a winged shade in gray, watching her from secret places, his lust for her touched by her purity, a blade thrust to his gut.
She has descended from heaven's gate, feeling the pull of his eternal tide. As he draws near, she longs for his touch, a touch she does not yet understand.
Remation was a fettered ghost, prisoner of his desires. Darkness pulled him to the light. His antithesis blinded him. His lust for her controlled him. His fear of her mocked him.
Abarash was a handmaiden of God, near Seraph, singing hymns of repentance and love, a siren song for her dark devotee, calling him to be by her side.
Her kindness was a bitter pill, hands holding hands blazed chromatic, burning him like a brand. His shadow dropped, and he slowly emerged into the gray of a divided existence.
Needing to touch him deeply to defeat his darkness, she wrapped him in her forgiving arms, her light now enveloping his spirit.
He yielded to no man. But she was no man. By his side, yet a galaxy distant, and he could not reach the stars without bending the knee.
They knelt together in love's embrace, her time growing short. Their lips meet as thunder rumbles in the distance. She needed him now, as he needed her.
He held her close, piercing her with an aura that kindled the beast in her belly. The passion in her womb. It was his to conquer and defeat.
An ecstasy she has never known fills her completely, claiming every facet of her being. Spent sighs escape them. A flash of light arcs the sky. Darkness disappears, and shattered shards of light scatter into the universe. This is his redemption and her victory. End quote.
Nicely done, Jean. Thank you so much.
Let's
start with Dexter, please.
Oh, this was a beautiful piece. And, this had a hint of almost my cousin Mary, where Marissa Tomei is going, my inner clock is going, or whatever it is that she talks about. My inner clock, women have this, women and men, but this one has this inner clock of
things maybe becoming to an end, and that makes it even more of a impactful connection. And so I thought that this was a fantastic piece. It was almost mystical. And I don't know, I just thought it was a great collaboration. So very well done to you too.
Thank you so much, Dex.
Thanks, Dexter. I really appreciate that. And Louis, please.
You know, this was a beautiful love story. You know, the darkness against the light. You know, right here where you said her kindness was a bitter pill, hands holding hands, blaze, chromatic, burning him like a brand. His shadow dropped, and he slowly merged into the gray, a divided existence. And then, of course, you know, the strength and the loneliness and the emptiness, that darkness stills. And then here is this light that wants to touch him, needing to touch him deeply to defeat his darkness. She wrapped him in her forgiving arms, her light now enveloping slow his spirit. And what I loved about this epic love story is how they entwine against each other, and their energies and lovemaking heals each other. This was just beautiful and gorgeous, and a beautiful read, Laurent and Jean.
Thank you, Lou.
Thanks, Lou. That was beautiful. And Victoria, please.
Absolutely. So we always know there are these great stories, these great storylines that seem to always hit into the core of humanity. And I think that this is one of them, the idea that the darkness can be redeemed, that the light can be victorious in ways that do not create death. And this really gives that. It reminds me almost of the yin and yang, especially in the sense that when we think of these creatures of the darkness, they're not supposed to be with the creatures of the light. And yet their love in many ways are kind of that impregnation of each other's world. A little bit of the light goes back to him when he has to return to his realm, and a little bit of darkness goes with her. And it doesn't overwhelm them. It doesn't overpower them. It doesn't change their nature, yet it allows them to create this balance and perhaps have this understanding and perspective that they otherwise might not have had. And all of that is feasible, not because of hate, but because of love. And so I think, Lou, you said it beautifully. This is one of those epic love stories that we all cling to and want to have in our own ways. And you two just captured it beautifully.
Thank you, Rick.
Beautiful comment. That was great. And let's conclude with our canopy.
Yeah, I can only echo what the others have said already and say that I love the concept behind this piece, where you've got, although the story sort of seems to lean towards the light conquering the darkness, at the same time, the light was drawn to the darkness in the first place, because obviously they were attracted to each other. And there is mention in here of Prince of Shadows, a winged shade in grey. It's almost as if when the two of them have come together, the darkness and the light have kind of morphed into this kind of shade that's neither one nor the other as they entwine within each other. And I think there's so much beautiful imagery that you've both captured in this wonderful piece. And yes, I have to absolutely agree, it was beautifully read by both of you. I think it's a wonderful, wonderful write. And hey, you know me, I love a bit of darkness. And you've excelled here. Brilliant writing.
Kind words. Thank you so much. All right, Jean, we should have time for that last poem.
Yes, we do. And this piece is called Cascading Crescendos by Victoria Frost and Robert M. So here we go. And I have an audio, by the way.
Robert's been busy.
Yes, he.
This is really the Robert show tonight.
Here we go.
long I've waited to feel the caress of rough, warm fingers.
Can we turn it up, please?
Upon my ivory nose, the nearly feather my touch that vibrates my core with expert ministration, cultivated through years of devotion.
My palms caress the curve of your body, tracing each key to learn your tune, basking in the emanating allure, splendor, and awe as your delicate strings begin to hum for me.
You make my heartstrings ache with each pulse from each masterful press and sigh upon my body, creating exquisite melodies which pour willingly from my lips.
I will mold your rhythm with these hands. Your song is mine to claim. Desire with unbridled beauty, make me a slave to your wondrous rhythm.
My voice staccatoes with the fervor in which your fingers dance upon me, the frisson of our music dancing over my skin, bringing my every sensation to your attention. Your dictation, the pressure, giving me sustenance as my voice looses the damper of time and releases my oratoria to reverberate within the sacred hall.
As passions and ardors collided, gracing these walls with the sounds of ecstasy and torment to erase me, silence now echoes wrap these once bellowing hearts in stillness. For the calm, the more intense encore shall roar, for the crescendo, the passion.
Wow, I tell you what, the poem's great.
It's a great piece.
It is. You know,
thank you.
If I can move. Yeah, Robert's skills are evident. So in deference to his not being here and in deference to Victoria's being here, I have to say that the stanza, you make my heartstrings ache with each pulse from each masterful press and prod upon my body, creating exquisite melodies which pour willingly from my lips. Now, if you couple that with, sorry about that part, long I've waited to feel the caress of rough, warm fingers upon my ivory notes, the nearly feather-like touch that vibrates my core. In reference to a piano, I know the ability of a good pianist to feather stroke or tap the keys just so to create a certain tone is an exquisite thing. The piano invites that kind of expertise, of that kind of subtle touch, which is exactly what we're talking about when a man and a woman play each other's body as if they're an instrument. The whole thing was well done with that metaphor in mind. An enviable rite indeed. Bravo, Victoria and Robert. And Dexter, could you start us off, please?
Yeah, I would have to just kind of echo what you had talked about, you know, the wonderful references and metaphors, you know, bringing us back to the pianos and the heartstring and the really essence, I guess, I think of what this whole contest was is the music and almost the sensuality that
that flows almost like it has a musical quality, and this poem really embodies that. My voice staccatoes with the fervor in which your fingers dance upon me. Everything upon this piece has that essence of a musical quality, and so you guys really did a fantastic job of tackling the prompt. It's very well done.
Amen.
Thank you, Dexter. And Louie, please.
You know, to be in love with somebody who can play the piano or a musical instrument, to watch their body as they fall into the notes, and the passion just pours out from their fingertips. And, you know, it is very sensual and very sexual to experience that and watch that. And then especially if you can touch them while they're playing and, you know, move against their body. You know, it's the same thing like with Latin music and the tango. You just get enraptured and you get carried away. You know, my voice staccatoes the fervor in which your fingers dance upon me. You know, even their fingers when they touch you, because you realize you can hear the music. And when they're touching you, the music touches you as you're making love. And I thought she, you know, Victoria beautifully pinned that, my voice staccato for fervor in which your fingers dance upon me. And, you know, and then, of course, Robert, you know, where he talks about how the passion and odors collided, gracing these walls with sound. Just like voices making love, and just like instruments reverberating in the walls, it's just beautiful. A crescendo of passion, like Robert M. said.
Thank you, Leo.
Thank you. Thank you, Leo. And Arcana, please.
Well, you know, earlier on, Victoria mentioned about yin and yang, and this piece just sums that up perfectly. Rob brings on the darkness and the masculine part of it, and Victoria sort of just beautifully goes with that flow with a lovely, deft, feminine eloquence in her lines, the way that she sort of matches what he has to say with what she has to say, the to and fro between them. It's like a poetic opera of words, and I just think it's beautifully composed. And I have to say, beautiful read as well. You have a lovely voice for reciting poetry, Victoria, and I think it was excellent. Really well done, both of you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Arcana.
Thank you, Arcana.
Absolutely.
Okay. And a quick word from Vicky, please.
So this was actually kind of that weird, I'm working at 2 o'clock in the morning and Robert was keeping up with me and just kind of hanging out and not letting me be alone so late in the morning. And I'm classically trained. I actually went to college originally on a violin and vocal scholarship. And so I'm classically trained when it comes to music. And one of my favorite people that kind of mix the classical with the more modern is a group called the Piano Guys. And so that's the background music of this is Moonlit Sonata or Moonlight Sonata by Beethoven, played by the Piano Guys, which uses an electric cello and a piano. And so one of the things that kind of inspired me with it was this idea of how the piano comes into the background. My parts specifically line up with when the piano is playing. And so it's kind of that it was that inspiration of the beauty of the classical music brought into a modern day in an expression of passion that we sometimes forget. Classical music originally did not have dictation of how you were supposed to play the notes. That was determined by the lead musician who was playing it. And so to me, this was one of those opportunities to recapture the classic in a modern setting. And thankfully, I had a wonderful counterpart to help make it happen.
Great comment. Thank you so much, Victoria. Gene, it's all yours.
Well, it says we have 10 seconds left, and I don't know if they're going to throw me off of here or what they're going to do, but Victoria, that was absolutely wonderful poem and audio. You and Robert did a wonderful job with it. I would like to say that we have like 7 carryovers. Imagine that. But that's okay because I like that. We're gonna get them done. They'll just give me something to smile about on another night. That's all. I'm not sure if we're going to take it till next Wednesday. Friday's kind of full because of last week's fiasco. So we will work that out, and I'll let everybody know. In the meantime, I hope you all have a wonderful night. Great rest of the week. Take care. Thank you so much for writing with us, or writing for us, with us, about us, you know. Not about us.
Fabulous show.
What a wonderful, poetry tonight. And I appreciate every one of you who wrote, every one of you who gave us a poem to read. And I'm sorry for anyone who did not get on the board for tonight. It's just a lot, you know, and there are some long pieces. So everybody's going to get their time. So thank you so much, and I appreciate everyone. Thank you, Laurent, for co-hosting with me tonight. It was a pleasure, as always. And thank you, Lou, Arcana, Dex, Victoria. I appreciate you all calling in and helping us read. And, you know, we'll have to do it again soon.
Absolutely. Good night. Great show.
Good night. Thank you so much.
Everybody.
Have a great night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.